Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life, behind the scenes of a YouTube creator. It's the 1st of August today, 2025. It's a sunny day so far outside, which is rather lovely. And I think it must be something like 7:15 in the morning. Just going to have a look. Yeah, just after 7:15 in the morning. And it's a Friday. It is a Friday. We're just going to put the internet on, usual thing, into the back room, as you hear all the sound effect. There we go. So, I've got another catch-up day ahead of me with the book. Getting there, slowly but surely. It's a nice day, and unfortunately, it's one of those things. It's I'm doing this on the computer, of course, so I shall have to break the day out to get outside, because nobody really wants to stay inside. Well, I mean, some people do. They do like to stay inside, don't they? I don't know that I can on a nice day, but there you go. So we will get that done today and get through that as much as we can, as fast as is possible. And then as the weekend approaches, well, there's the pipe smoking video to put together. And yes, trying to stay relevant is the difficult part at the moment. I'm working on my book, as you know, and that's nearly done. I thought it was done. And trying to shift onto the videos that will demonstrate our experiences on the land, the mistakes and the challenges that we have. We've been watching various other people who are doing similar things to get ideas and suggestions and what have you. And this is on the channel. It's like you think, well, how do I stay relevant when we're not actually there yet? And these transitions take time, don't they? You don't just go from being a popular YouTuber talking about truth and freedom and what's going on in the world, however you want to define that, and then to becoming your in the country farming or small scale homesteading, whatever, off-gridding, whatever it is, in one swoop. And that transition, finding the land and all of that, well, we've not really been overly recording the search. I mean, we've been to one site and we showed that on the English couple, mostly because it's not our land, you know. It's somebody else's place, isn't it? And we can't buy them all, and so I just felt that it was not appropriate, really. I mean, I suppose we could have film bits where we were sitting in the van talking about the merits of one place and the other. I suppose we could have done that, but we're just keen to get going, really, before the summer is over. And here we are in August, at the height of, I guess, and then by the end of the August, that will be it. We'll be into the autumn, so there's another 30 odd days of that. People are on holiday, of course. That makes travelling very difficult. We've done a little bit of travelling about, and by golly, the amount of traffic on the roads really does snarl everything up. And that's another problem, isn't it? Depending on how far you've got to go to get on to wherever it is you've got to be. We have an event coming up in 8 days called the Gert Dog, which is a strange name. But Julia did try to explain to me. Well, she didn't just try. She did explain what it was, the history of it. We were told about it. I can't remember if it's a mysterious dog or a particular stone or something. But anyway, it's a Somerset thing, as far as I know. And anyway, they have a festival, and it's a truth of festival on a piece of land which has been lived on for the last 20 years as off-grid. Fascinating place, because you look at it on the satellite and there's farmers' fields, just monocropped farmers' fields, big farmers' fields. And then in amongst all of that is this one field. I don't know how many acres it is. Oh, yes, he did tell us it was about 3 acres. And it's all this little, not commune, that's a community. That's the word I was looking for, a little community. And that's rather jolly. And they do a bit of growing. They've got polytunnels and various things. So we did an event, was it last weekend or the weekend before now? Everything goes into a bit of a mist. I think it was last weekend or towards the end of last weekend or Friday or something, doing a talk. It's fairly near Glastonbury, but not in Glastonbury. And we did this talk and we were going to have a guided tour, but we could only be there for a very short period of time. So we didn't. So hopefully we'll get one when we go there at, I think it's from the 7th onwards, something like that, the 6th or 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th. It's on for a number of days. We can't get there all of those days. I think we're only going to be there at the weekend. Too many other things to do, that's the trouble. But I'm talking on the Saturday, whatever that is, the 9th, I think, and then hosting or being part of a round table type chat or something on the 10th in the morning with a bunch of other people. So that would be very interesting and fascinating to learn all about. And so that's that, and that's coming up. And what else have we got coming up? Well, we've got another Barbara O'Neill in September, and I can't think if we've got very much. Of course, I do want to promote the book when it's done, but I haven't really got any dates until I've got the thing printed up, because I don't know how long the printers will take to get the printing done. And then it's going to be, as I think I've alluded to before, a hardback with a dust cover, but it will be stitched as a book, like old book, well, normal books are, and not just glued. That's what Amazon does, and some of these others that do instant printing on demand. So these will be done in the proper way. I want it to be a proper book, you know. And I'm not suggesting that the books on Amazon are not proper books, but they can fall apart quite easily over time, and I'd like this one to last a little bit. Here's the lovely Julia coming in. Hello, lovely Julia, coming in.
Richard, you stay in here already.
Are you charging up your laptop? Oh, excuse me, yawning. It's been just one of those weeks this week. And I'm looking outside at my hollyhocks, and there's one there. It must be 8 foot tall. I mean, it is absolutely enormous in height. Well, 8 foot is not enormous, obviously, if it was 30 foot, but then that would be a record, I think. But yes, just peering out there at this thing, it's almost like a triffid. It's very, very tall. And we've got a number of those, and I would be very keen to plant more of those on wherever we end up with our land, because they're just very beautiful and very pretty and very quintessentially English, although they do grow in different parts of the world, I believe. But you see them in books. I've got a lovely book somewhere on my shelf. I can't remember what it's called. It's something like Cottages from History or something, or Countryside Cottages it is, and it shows all these gardens outside these lovely either stone building or timber frame buildings from the past. The ones that everybody would love to live in, those sort of houses, rather than the rabbit hutches they do end up in. And in the gardens is always hollyhocks. It's very quintessential English stuff. And that's what I would like on the farm, on the land, on the, you know, small holding, whatever you want to call it, really. One of the things that we were watching last night was this chap who was, he's got a small holding off-grid, and he was complaining that the potatoes that he put down were being dug up by rabbits. and
not to eat, just because they wanted to
not yeah because apparently the, they don't eat soil. They don't eat potatoes, but they enjoy just digging it up because the soil is not compacted and it's relatively lightweight, so they
like a sand bath for them.
Yeah,
a soil bath.
So I thought about this anyway. He made this potato tower in the end, which I know it sounds a bit bizarre, but it's basically a ring of fencing, I suppose about 4 foot wide, something like that, and about 6 foot tall. And he filled it with various composts. He put some straw around the side to stop the soil from leaching out, and then planted these potatoes in the sides of this thing. And that was his attempt at trying to defeat the rabbit. But I just was thinking, and Julia did give me an answer to this, but in the old days, farmers used to plant fields full of potatoes. And I dare say some rabbits would have nibbled at some of them or dug some of them, but they didn't decimate the whole thing. And other people must get potatoes up. Otherwise, you know, the whole off-grid movement wouldn't work. And he hasn't fenced them off. He thought they would be safe. So I just wondered why, in the old days, people could have fields of potatoes up and down the land and not have that problem. And yet he was having that problem. And Julia said that, of course, in the old days, the land was managed by men with guns or dogs, and these warrens would be shut up, and the predators of your crops would be shot, basically managed, wouldn't they? They would be managed, and the farmer would go out to ensure that there were none of these things. The Normans, I think it was, that brought over conies, as they called them.
Well, people used to eat them more commonly as well back then.
Yes, you'd get them in the pot, rabbit stew. I've never had rabbit stew. I have to say, it doesn't appeal to me at all.
My big brother used to tease me. He always used to say what we were eating was rabbit, because I had a rabbit in the garden.
Yeah.
It was never rabbit on our plate. My mum wouldn't do that to me.
No, of course. But it's been domesticated, hasn't it, the rabbit? And then it's a very sort of cute little thing in the countryside. But, of course, when you were hungry, it was fair game, I suppose. And people poached. Fair game. And people would poach them and bring back a rabbit for the pot. Well, I guess in some ways you could argue, even though that they were poached, you could argue that you were doing the farmer a favour or the landowner a favour by reducing the number of rabbits, even though you could be taken to court for poaching somebody else's so-called wildlife, which roamed by its own accord onto that land or not, as the case may be. So I suppose that's what it is. They may well spray things on modern potato plantations in order to make them grow quicker, and not be attacked by whatever bugs, aphids or whatever it is that might attack the flowers and or the leaves or whatever. But I don't know whether they're doing that to stop rabbits getting. Anyway, it was one of those sort of things that we've got to concern ourselves with. And I guess other things such as rats and mice and badgers and monk jacks, deer, that sort of thing, all in the countryside, that here in the and foxes, of course, here in the countryside, we don't have to think about. We don't have to think about what you're going to protect. Because foxes, I suppose, is the most thing, and rats and mice. So there you go, you do have to think about those things. But mice will eat the seeds, as I suppose rats will as well. Any sort of grain they'll go after. And again, we've read these old stories and accounts of farmers during the harvest where you're getting the wheat and what have you, and the rats are under the haystacks, and they're being bludgeoned by armies of men and farmers to bash them on the head to get rid of them. It's a continual pest, I suppose. Anyway, these are just some of the ramblings on a Friday morning of what Julia and I have been thinking about, and we'll continue to have to think about once we get into the countryside, because there's a marked difference. You know, I think people don't realise, and we're becoming more closer to realise, all those things that you take for granted that are just there, i.e. pavements, road access, bins being collected, and all of that. But that's part of the revelation, I think, will be in the videos that we make. But as I said at the beginning, the transition period is not really being charted at the moment until we've actually, you know, it's going to be much easier to film once we've got somewhere sorted. And that is happening, but it's just that very slow process. Anyway, today, the slow process, of which I must get on top of and get out, is the book. And I think once that'll be a line in the sand for me to say, right, you've got the book. And then, of course, whatever we do with our land, we won't be able to have great piles of books arrive to be posted out on the land. So they'll have to come here to the house. And then there'll be envelopes and stamps to buy, and hopefully people are buying them. Otherwise, I've just got a whole load of books in boxes, not knowing what to do with them. Anyway, there we are. Thank you very much for listening. I will catch up with you, no doubt, tomorrow.